Okay, what I wanted to do, we'll start Kuf Pei Gimel Amis Hashem next week. I wanted to, sum up and add a few pieces here and there. These pamphlets that I've given out were made when we learned Hilchis Chatzitza about 15 years ago or so, longer. So Baruch Hashem had saved one. I don't think the halacha has changed from 15 years ago. So I went through it. There are a few nekudas here that we did not discuss maybe clearly, and I'd like to go through it. Before that, I wanted to add a few points, a few ideas that we didn't touch on, the Nagaya to Tilchus Chatzitza, but they're actually in Simin Kuf Tzadik Tes. So I'd like to briefly discuss a few points and then look at what Chedushin there may be and what's in your hand. I would recommend that you give these to your wives just to read through. Could be they'll read through the whole thing and get one Chiddush or two Chiddushim, but it's always good after many years to review these things. I had mentioned a number of times that before toiveling, there's an obligation in preparation of Iyun and Chafifa. Iyun is a Chiyuv Dairaisa. A woman has to examine herself to make sure she's tar. And that's a Dabar HaMa'akiv. A woman who's Tevel without Iyun, without checking herself, is not Yaitziyah Dei Tefila. And in the beginning of Simen Kuf Tzadik Tes, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha. Chafifa is Takanas Ezra. The halacha that a woman has to do Chafifa, Ches Fei Yud Fei Hei, is Takanas Ezra. And there is something of a question as to what the literal translation of chafifa is. What does it mean, chafifa? Chafifa is the hair. It's some type of cleaning of the hair. Rashi in the Gemara says chafifa. This Gemara, by the way, is in Bava Kama, not in Nida. It's in Bava Kama because if it says Bava Kama, in Dandaf Pei Beis, Pei Gimel, Pei Dalet, it lists all the Takanis Ezra. All of the Takanis Ezra made, I can't say all, but a specific list. And in Takanas Ezra, it mentions this Takana that Shateisha Chayfefes Kaidim Tfilasa, that a woman has to do Chafifa before Tfilah. So that it's mentioned there. And Rashi there says Chafifa means combing, means to comb the hairs. That's what Rashi says. Tysus and the Rosh, what? So combing hair would be two purposes, to remove chatzitzas and to disentangle hair that may be knotted. The Rashi and Taisa and the Rosh, Taish Chafifa as Rechitza Sarosh Bechamin, washing the hair with hot water, warm water, however you want to Taish Chamin, but washing the hair with at least with warm water. And these are the two parts of chafifa that are brought in halacha: the combing of the hair and the washing of the hair. The question that the Paiskim deal with is whether these things are devarim hama'akvim, whether they're ma'akiv or not. Let's say a woman is stuck someplace and there is no hot water; she can only do chafifa sarosh with cold water. So it's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch or in the earlier Paiskim if it's a Davar HaMa'akiv. The Shulchan Aruch says that she's obligated to Lisrei Sa'araisha Yafa, how do you pronounce a comb in Hebrew?
Masreik.
B'Masreik. Shalei Yitiyana Sa'arisa Nidvokei Zubazu. That's what it says in the beginning of Chassadik Tes. That she has to... she has to do such a thing, and v'sachu kol gufa v'tishta b'mayim chamin b'shas chafifas gufa v'sara, and it says that she has to have mayim chamin at the time of her chafifa. So these things are obligations in Shulchan Aruch, and whether using warm water is a davar ma'akev is not mentioned clearly. Of an interesting aside, yeah. So she has to do a preparation before Shabbos. We can discuss. Now, what's interesting is that in Hilchos Mayim Achroinim, it says not to wash with hot water, Sheyatzeledes Bay, which is 120 degrees, 130 degrees, because it doesn't clean well. If it's too hot, it doesn't clean well. If it's hot, it's good. If warm, is good. But too hot, now it's not clear to me the mitzias. It says if it's too hot, it's merachech habosar and the zuama nidbekes. I don't know what that means exactly in practical terms. It seems to me that hot water works, although I've never used hot water without soap. So, you know, once you're using hot water, you use soap. So I don't know. I've never really experimented with it. But what? Yes, so what's the answer? Hot water is better. It's better solvent. And the hotter it gets, there's no point where it gets too hot, as far as you know. So I don't understand. Maybe it has something to do with the skin? I have no idea. I don't know what it means. Maybe it's only melasodimus that has a problem. That's true. Well, yatzeledes actually doesn't mean... Yanichvizbay means you get burned. Yatzeledes is 125 degrees. Well, what's the temperature on a hot water boiler? Was it around that amount? What? 170? The hot water used in the sink? No. Really? At any rate, it's just interesting to me that by my machrayim it says such a thing. And here it doesn't say any nekuda that shouldn't be too hot. Maybe it's only a small amount of hot water. I have no idea. You mean by melichas basar? Yes, so there it's not allowed to be hot. If it cooks it, it's going to make the blood absorb. Yeah. So I don't know. Is having mayim chamer or at least mayim poisher ma'akev? I don't know where to point to see. What about a comb? Is a comb a dover hama'akiv? Here, paiskim do talk.
What do you say? Can't get the hot water.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. Shulchan Aruch says hot water. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says hot water.
There's
not even warm water. I don't know. It seems that it's a dover chafifa. Certainly, it says chafifa. Shabbakim say aloi siyeh b'mayim karen. So it says not locha. Apparently, it's not. Maybe a davar makiv even b'di'evin. As far as using a comb, it's interesting that the paiskim do have some sort of a discussion as to whether using a comb is a davar hamakiv. The Sidri Tara says a masrek is ma'akev, unless lonsam baila, unless you already did it without it, was tevel without it, went home, and it's overnight. So lon sambayla was saimach and das yachid. But typically, he says, a masrik is ma'akiv, and the kisser shulchan aruch, and the chof masadim paskin that way. So it appears that using a comb is ma'akiv. There are some paiskim, the pashas of dar hashulchan, and the shus yakiv, is that it's not ma'akiv. So here, after a little bit of eon, it seems that when the Sidri Tarach of Masadim and Lechem Simla, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Lechus Nida, when they say it's ma'akiv, I don't think they mean a comb. Combing the hair with the fingers, I think, is adequate as well. And there are a couple of rayas that a comb is not ma'akiv. First of all, the Sidri Tarach himself, it's of Katan Zion, where he says a masrik is ma'akiv. Later in Sifkat Nechaf, he brings the tshuva from the Masas Binyamin that if it's Shabbos and the comb is going to pull hairs, do it with your hands. So that would be a steer in the Sidri Tara. If he means a comb is ma'akiv, as the words seem to say, then what's he saying on Shabbos? Do it with your fingers. Wait till after Shabbos. So it seems that when he's saying combing is ma'akiv, he doesn't mean a comb as opposed to fingers. If you comb with your fingers, it's also good. It just means a comb as opposed to not doing any type of a combing at all. It also seems to be a raya from what we learned back in Kutzai Dekes, Sivkot Nehei, one of the most memorable Se'ifim. We had the Sivkot Nevav. The woman who in the middle of the night, Shade came and braided her hair. See, everyone remembers that one. The Shadim should have been in every Sif. It would have been good. And we said it's okay, it doesn't matter. What about the takana of combing? What do you do with that? So I don't know. What do you do with that? You rely on the shave combing or before the, I don't know. There she can't even do it with her fingers. I understand she can do whatever she can do. I don't know. She can do as best she can to check between the hairs. There should be nothing stuck. So it seems that an examination or a doing whatever you can do is enough. It's just ma'akiv if a person doesn't do it at all. If you look up the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, which the Sidur Torah is going on, he also seems to be talking about someone who's not sure that anything was done at all. He's talking Shvus Yaakov Shiloh, where this whole thing starts, is a woman who went to the mikveh, came home, she just doesn't remember. What did she do? Did she come? She didn't come. So there, it seems to mean she doesn't remember anything. And the Sidur Torah argues Shvus Yaakov is nakel, says she probably did what she always does. And Sidur Torah says no, she has to remember. But they're not arguing about a kom dafka. That's my point. They're arguing a woman who went and she doesn't remember what she did.
We allow a woman or a man to comb their hair and put their fingers on Shabbos because it doesn't blot the hair. So how can it be remove chatzitzas?
Because we're not looking to pull hair. We're looking just to smooth out the hair and to catch things between the hair. Alright, so that's the the one nekuda I wanted to mention, which is a basic idea, Iyun and Chafifa, that these are Dvarim HaMa'akvim. We did have that in the Beis Hastarim, Iyun is not Ma'akiv. One of the kulas of a Beis Hastarim is that if you've got to check, you can check afterwards, and Iyun is not Ma'akiv in the Beis Hastarim.
Because we see Chafifa is in the hair. Of course, the people who shave off completely the hair, so the Chafifa.
Well, it's clear that in the time of Ezra, not everyone shaved their head because they did chafif. Also, chafif is in the sarah guf as well. And the hair is the most complicated, but the rest of the guf, a woman also has to check the hair. Chafifa goes any place where the hair can be tangled in the body.
On Ayyul, do they rely on the woman, the mukveh woman, who check them?
If they check the hair, yeah. They check. I'm not sure they check the hair. It depends. In different places, they're more. The mikveh women are more or less aggressive, depending on the clientele. Some places they're afraid. They just check the nails. They don't bother them too much. In some places, they're more aggressive in checking. One more shaila. A woman comes home from the mikveh, and she finds a chatzitza. What do you do now? It's a very difficult shiloh. A woman, after she's back from the mikveh, she did all of her preparations. What do you do? So it's interesting that the Rambam Shita and the Mechaber Shita is that any time a woman finds a chatzitza afterwards, the language of the Rambam, the Mechaber, chafafa v'aina v'tavla, and when she comes up, when she finds a davar chaytitz, im b'seich oina shechafafa tavla, ein tzricha tefila acheres. V'im lav tzricha tefila acheres. What? One second. Well, Chazak may make strong the Chazak Nashim. One second. That the Rambam Shita is that if you find it soon thereafter, that she has to be chayshish, that if the preparation was done right before she went to the mikveh, you don't have to be chayshish. But if there was a space of time, she did the preparation by day, and she went to the mikveh at night, then she has to be chayshish and she requires a new tefillah. So what? Well, the mikveh lady checks the fingernails. So
don't they check when they go up? Aren't they in
what are they checking? I don't know that they check again.
They're checking that the hair was all the way down, you said, right? So when they notice, there's more things.
Look, if someone checks and sees it, then obviously it's good. I'm talking, okay, they don't check all the parts of the guf. You know, it's a very difficult thing. I once had a woman who tivled, and she came home, And it sounds like a joke, but she afterwards she said that she found in her navel, she found there was cotton, there was cloth stuck in the navel, embedded in the navel. What? Lint, cloth, whatever it was, something she'd be makbid on occasionally. Nobody, what? No, my mashes, something she was able to pull out. So it's going to say, we're going to see later that if the Shah says, if she could say, she has to be able to say borili that I checked. If she's not borili, she checked beforehand, then it's then you're not titled that I came later. Maybe it's from the robe, maybe it's not from the robe. It's a Shavu d'Rabbanan, a biyut, but nevertheless, it says in.
Right away, not the next morning.
Yeah, right away. So it's an issue. The issue with the navel is a question of whether that's called Beis Hastarim or not. In the Beis Hastarim, the Dover Munach is not a Chatzitza. We are Ramesh's Yisayd. It has to be a Dover Dovuk and not a Dover Munach. So I leave it to your imagination whether you consider the belly button to be a Beis Hastarim or not. It depends if a person is heavy or skinny or I don't know. It has a different. But at any rate, it's a serious thing afterwards if you find, and hopefully it shouldn't come up. It shouldn't come up too often. The Rambam is more machmir in this inyan. It's one place where Beis Yosef is more machmir than the Shach. Although, since you need a barili anyway, it's a very hard to say for sure. Right before, then we're mekel. And b'seich ayna shechafa tavla in its richet tefila
cheres.
It says what?
For many years, every time she checks.
So it's a very interesting. You want to hear what they compare? Shaul is saying she checks all the time. Probably check now too. There's a fascinating taz in Siman Samach Tes by salting meat. What does salting meat have to do with going to the mikveh? There's a woman. She cooks supper. She finishes cooking supper. She says, "Man, I don't remember if I salted the meat. I remember salting the meat." So Taz brings Paiskim that say that she does it every time. You and I, whatever we do, we do. Does anybody remember sticking his keys in the ignition this morning before he drove? Nobody remembers. You have no key. I'm sorry. Do you remember the things that you do? Once somebody we're very nervous. Somebody once went over to Matthew Yosef Solomon, one of these nervous types, you know. So he went over to him. He said, "I don't remember if I said Mashiv Rocham or Ageshem today." So Matthew Yosef asked him, "Do you remember saying Ato Gibor Loyla Mashem?" Anyway, listen to this, a fascinating Taz. The Taz brings those who taina that a person doesn't remember they salt because he always salt. The person did the way he always does. The Taz brings. So Mustam, they did it. The Taz taina is back, yeah. But she does it all the time, but when she finishes, she's not Mesupik. Here, when she finishes, she was Mesupekes. So here, it's more logical that she forgot. So the Taz is Mesupik there, what to do, and they are those places who want to compare it, the Achrenu want to compare it to here, the same type of a comparison. Okay, so those are just some two in Yanim, the Inyan of Iron Chafifa and to what degree it's Ma'akiv, and the question of Tavla, and she finds a Chatzitza later, it's good, after she tavels, she should eat, so she shouldn't have nervousness later about finding stuff between her teeth. Now, as far as the pamphlets you have in front of you, much of what you have in front of you is, at least are things that we have gone through and that I hope you're familiar with. There is, this is a Kuntros HaTorah V'Hira that, I'm sorry, I started making a few more copies. If you go into study, you'll find three pages that I started making copies of. But anyway, this is a Torah by Ra, it's Pesachim from Rav Moshe. It's Chelek Zayin, Toshin Lam Zayin, 1987. These are Pesachim from Rav Moshe. The pages I'm reading to you come from what the index page calls Nerach Aidei Rav Bluth. It was set up by Rav Bluth. Imagois, Mer Rav Moshe, Bechatzi Yigol. Mer Rav Moshe reviewed it and in parentheses added Hagois, wherever I guess he thought there had to be a change. I don't see too many Haggais here, one or two. I think this is understood that that it was from Rav Moshe. So here there are a number of points. It's interesting. Just last night, someone asked about a woman who can't bathe. I'm trying to remember the details. Who can't bathe? The shaila was if a shower is adequate, or whether there has to be a bath, whether the person has to bathe. So every woman knows you have to go to a mikveh, you have to take a bath. And they know you have to take a bath for half an hour, etc. So even though we know that that's the minig hanoshim, the idea that one has to take a bath is not a halacha. The halacha is you need to wash with hot water, as we said. And the Rav Moshe brings here, I'm quoting again from Rav Luth, but... Im ein etzlam batya, she's in a place where she has no bath. Sagi b'shower, Rav Moshe's style of writing Hebrew English words in b'shaver. Dehaynu kilu achamayim al gufa derech mishpach milmaila meha isha. That means pouring water on her meha isha. I guess they what milmaila meha isha. Thank you. Okay, from above the woman. And in parentheses, Rav Moshe added, "Tzricha lisha isman gadol b'chafifa rechitza v'shiriyas haguf b'mayim akarav la'erasha." So she has to spend time on the combing, the washing, and this whole thing till close to an hour. She should spend on it. I don't know if she has to stay under the shower for an hour; she'll turn into a prune. But anyway, Rav Moshe needs to add that not a quick shower, but it's got to be a shower that soaks the body. So it is enough to do a shower. He adds agav. Mayel hashawel at Tishakabin to Takanas Ezra. Ezra's Takan of Tishakabin, it helps also with a shower. Ayin b'sefer Taras Mayin, Shirin b'galon. Okay. What? That means the whole preparation. It says, Magadol b'chafifa urechitza b'shriyas gufa b'mayim akarabash. Now, I'll show you where the shah comes from. It comes from the shah. So the bath, halacha l'maisa, the woman takes baths, and we're not going to be mekel in it. But if it happens on occasion that people get stuck in situations, out of town type situations, and you check into a motel, your plane has engine trouble, Loyalenu, and you sit down in some town, and you're going to go out to the ocean, and your hotel room doesn't have a bath, so you should know that the shower works. The 30 minutes, and I've had people who called. They're not sure if it was 30 minutes, it was 28 minutes, or 25 minutes. So that's a takanas hamikvos. It's something that has no makor in printed halacha. The idea of spending 30 minutes in a bath is a takanas hamikvos. It's what the mikvos, they said a time that it should be. And lamaisa, they should do 30 minutes, but a woman's not sure if it's 28 minutes, 25 minutes. It's not set in stone, the 30-minute shir. Yeah.
But if a woman is chayiv saratah twice, two, three times, and she bathes up and down three times already, and it's only 20 minutes.
So she should take along a book and relax in the bath and read Ami magazine or something. What? All the mikvahs. It's at least by Ashkenazim, it's certainly a prevalent meaning. And to cut it to spend an hour on the old Chachachonis, what's she going to do that anyway after half hour? So anyway, this is the these are, I guess, some of the rules that are ma'akiv. Rav Moshe does write an interesting thing, and again, not Rav Moshe writing, Rav Luth is writing, B'shem Rav Moshe. We're going to learn soon that in these sheets that you're supposed to start the Achonis Meba'id Yayim. So that's where it says in Halacha that if someone did not start the Achonis Meba'id Yayim, there's a Takana that you have to spend an hour on the Achonis. So you should like to have so if she's supposed to stop by day, she shouldn't be rushed. We rush to get home. So you're supposed to stop by day. If you don't stop by day, you start at night. So there's a Takana. In the Shach, Yeridei Kuf Tzadik Tez Vav, B'Shei Marshal, that Tzrich Hashitas B'Chafesa Kishoa Be'erech, that she should spend an hour. Rav Moshe writes a Chiddush, Bizman hazeh shememan an isha menusa b'dinei chatzitza v'tfila libdei kanashim. Nowadays they have women who mikvah ladies who check the fakeh al tfila. Says the ladies are nervous that the mikvah ladies are going to catch them with a chatzitza. So memela, that makes up that for the fear, and shapidami, and it's good even if a person didn't start mabayin yayin. Again, this is lechatchila, she should start mabayin yayin, and here's a kula. Now, a couple of dinim. Most of the halachas here we discussed. He has here about dandruff, which I don't remember discussing. You know, when I was younger and had more chashash of dandruff, it was more on my mind. But the Ramesha writes about dandruff. Isha shederech la'or roisha liklaif haynu mashakayin dandruff. Ha'ika lishrois v'lochef ha'isha heitev atshu teinaki meklipas ha'ar. That she should wash herself and make sure it's clean from whatever it could be clean from. Besides the combing, he's talking about a sunburn. They have to soak it and take off as best as they can. So what? So he writes here that if someone has psoriasis, they should ask a rav. Ramesh is right; should ask a rav. It's a little unusual, but I guess it depends how bad it is. I'm not sure. Generally, we deal with these things the same way as we do with lice. We had in Shulchan Aruch regarding lice that lice is a chatzitza, a woman's makpid on lice, but we had that she has to get the lice out as best as she can. We had in Sif Mem Zayin, whatever lice remains after a good cleaning is not a rechetzitza. The Shach said that the Gros had two reasons, either Haidu Revise or Eina Makpedes. She doesn't want it there, but after a while, she's stuck with it. That's called Eina Makpedes. Now, what? There's no reason to be mechalik. The Shulchan Aruch said, "Mine kinim shedvukim bevasav and aishchem ba'ar." So the Shulchan Aruch said kinim. The Pesachei Tshuva brought the eggs as well. I can't answer. I don't know. But the idea is the same idea at any rate. So I think what in psoriasis, you have to clean as best you could. What the meaning is of the Rabbanim is to tell a woman to clean it the way she always does, twice, to do it two times. So if one time she's rushed, she doesn't do such a good job, you do it twice. Twice for sure is as much as she's ever had this. And that's adequate for the issue. Another point that's mentioned here, corns vekelasis, calluses. Even though occasionally you go to a doctor, and nowadays you don't go to a doctor anymore, you just get these sticky Dr. Scholl things on them. But even though they used to go and cut them off, and she plans to take it off, you don't even have to soften them. They're part of the body. And therefore, it's not a chatzitza. How's that pronounced in modern Hebrew? Gorov al gufa mashakarin ekni ukadaima ekni. I don't know. Ramesha always spells an ayin for an ah sound at the beginning of a word. Isn't that funny? Ekni. And it's like the old literature pronunciations. What? That's how he pronounced it. I understand. I always have a problem when I have a chasen at the sands. How do you spell Atlantic Beach? Is it Atlantic or is it Atlantic? Depends who's talking. No, the Litvisha would write Atlantic. No, the place doesn't exist. No, I have a wedding there. The class can make a wedding. I hope it exists. If it doesn't exist, we have someone in the shul that gave a deposit. So. At any rate, they have free swimming there now. So he says, what about acne? Imadayin lo yotza halecha. Rabbi say, imadayin lo yotza halecha mivla b'guf ein echaitzis. If you have a complete pus pimple, it's not, it didn't burst, The lecha, the pus is still there, but it's under the skin. It's not chaytis. Afilo richo chaytzricha. She doesn't even have to soak it. Avolung far niftecha hababuois. If the pimples open, kolshetech gimel yamim ainah chaytzitz. Within 3 days, we assume the whatever pus is there is moist, unless you see it's dry. Kedam yavesh. Avol nasik kaglida kasha. But if it formed a hard skin, osrichal shreisa b'mayim keesadake se yaisa soak it for 10 minutes or more. Atchetisrachek, however you do it. What? With pox, she'll have a problem. Yeah, okay. But this is all an example of hainu revise. Corn, calluses, pimples that are closed. You don't want them there. You have a pimple that tip on his nose, or her nose. You don't want it there. But hainu revise means it's a natural growth on the body. And so it's a natural growth on the body is not a chatzitza. The Gemara says it by a woman who's pregnant, and she's tayveles. The tefillah is good for the baby. She's tayveling for gerus. So the tefillah of a woman is good for the baby as well. But tonight the Besdin knows that she's expecting. And the tefillah is good. I, the baby, and the water's not touching the baby. Hainu revise, that's the way a baby exists.
But baby so,
has what?
Baby has to do it again and becomes
of age. No. Not tefillah, you have to do tefillah. Not tefillah, no. It's called Hairasa Bikdusha, Hairasa Shalai Bikdusha, Vilaidasa Bikdusha. The conception was as a guy and the lady. What? They don't have to redo it. It's a good tefillah. That's when you tell them, as you ask them if they're asking, you ask them if they're asking. But you don't need to do tefillah when you ask them if they're asking. Okay. Okay, so let's get to these to this pamphlet. As I said at the outset, I don't think much of what here is going to be a chiddush to you. I think you should just imagine you're going to give this to your wife, she's going to review it, so you have to be ready for a bechina, because she's going to ask you on the hard parts of this. So, you just spent time learning it. So, okay, here on the first page are the rules of Roiv and Makbid. Now, again, the basic rules. Everyone here is familiar with to be Dairaisa, it's Rubai or Makbid. To be the Rabbanon, it's Rubai or Makbid. I do stress on the bottom that this is all B'di'evet. L'chatchila, we remove even Miyutei Shein and Makbid. So that's what's said in the Ramah. That when L'chatchila, we remove Miyutei Shein and Makbid. Chachmasad, Marach HaShulchan, the lenient L'chatchila, if it cannot be removed. But otherwise, on a miyut ha-makbid, we are chaitzitz. In Bivya, I mentioned the machlekes, the Rashba, the Rambam. What's taich makbid? Does makbid go by the individual woman? Or does it go by the behavior of most women? La'alocha w'machmir on both. If most women are makbid, even if this woman is not makpedes, then it's a chatzitza. It's called makbid. And if she's makpedes and no one else is makbid, it's hamishagas. So also that would be considered to be a chatzitza. There's one exception to that. He said a person whose job, whose work is a painter or something. So the paint on the hand is not a chatzitza. Because they're never makbid, the painters are not makbid. Today, I don't think it's so. Ramosha writes here that if you have a woman who works in an office, remember the old stencil machines they used to have in the yeshivas? So he used to type onto a black stencil, which was full of ink, and the ladies put it on this drum, and either they turned it by hand, or later they had electricity, and that's how they made copies. So these ladies forever had black fingertips, because they were patchkering with this all the time, and their fingertips were black all the time. So Ramesha writes that binyan harbe noshim, the first part I understand, shetipulam b'macholam k'may tapuchei adama. Potatoes make dirt on the hand? The peels that get black. And the fingers stay dark. So he writes, Noya Gais Anoshim Lashtamish Bebenzin Ukadaima, Achyoda Magas. They try to clean it until they're not going to inflame themselves. So the chazusa shein by mamish, we had that it's not a davar amanaki.
It
doesn't go up. All right, so these things, in the time of the Chazal, a painter was a makpid. He walked around paint on his hands. Today, they are makpid. Could be a little work, they run to mincha, they're not going to be makpid. But still, they go to chasana, they're makpid, because today we have ways of getting it clean. And therefore, I think nowadays you always have to get rid of it. What?
The mechanic,
the oil, you mean? Baruch Hashem, our wives are mostly not mechanics. So, what? Oh, so that's why I mean it's an exception. That most people, if they be painters, they wouldn't be magnets. It's a tremendous chiddush. The Shulchan Aruch says it beferish. That's right, and that's why it's an exception to the rule. Okay, on the next side, the dinim of here, things we spent quite a bit of time on. I think everything I've written here is known. It is the top line here must be washed with hat. I wrote all warm, Chochmas Adam. Chochmas Adam says it doesn't have to be Cham, and Peshrin is good. It's interesting. The Badi HaShulchan writes, Shulchan Aruch says, Cham, it has to be hot water. Cham is Cham. And you see, in Elchah Shabbos, Chazal were guys of Cham, they weren't guys of Peshrin. But Lamaisa, the Chochmas Adam says Peshrin is good. So as far as this way or that, if the Chochmas Adam says it should be good. Oh, and here it's important, and cold while it is wet, Chochmas Adam. We said you need Chafifa. It's ma'akiv to do chafifa. The Chachmas Adam says, if a woman combs her hair dry, that's not adequate for the takana of chafifa. The takana of chafifa has to be combing when the hair is wet. And therefore, it's a marimokim is a Chachmas Adam, that you need both. If one neglected to do so, the tefillah must be repeated, even if no chatzitza was subsequently found. As I said, that's a halacha in Yeridaya. The ABCD halachis of here, which I believe we already discussed, I think, quite well. The eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Leniencies regarding beis hastarim, to review. The beis hastarim are the parts of the body that are normally closed. Water does not have to come. So there are two leniencies. One, a woman who forgot to examine herself, she didn't do ian prior to immersion, must repeat the immersion, even if she subsequently found to be free of any chatzitza. You didn't do ian, it's ma'akiv. Regarding beis hastarim, however, if one erroneously neglected to examine these areas prior to immersion, it's sufficient to do so subsequently. That you don't need iyun; you have to check afterwards. You have to make sure there's no chatzitza. Chatzitza is ma'akiv, but you don't need it before. If the next day there's still no chatzitza, it should certainly.
No, she didn't check, and then
I imagine that it would be good. Let's see the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Iyun is not ma'akiv. Even the next day. So it's good, she doesn't have table again. If she, the base of storm, she neglected to check, it's not Mac. If that's one cooler that says Beferish and Halacha.
Regarding wives, why should it be different than contact lenses? Because we said that it's not Munach.
Because the contact lens is Heter, that's two here. That's a Heter in the base of storm, only. Okay, number two, Ramesha held that once only something actually attached to a base of star is a chatzitza, and not something placed there. Has to be attacked, not a coin in the mouth. That was the Mishnah Ramesha was basing his chiddush on. Something placed in a base of starim, therefore a coin lying in the mouth, a false eye, contact lenses, or certain types of earplugs. We didn't talk about earplugs, I want to talk about it soon. Anachaitis b'di'evit. So, Lamaisa Ramesha holds this kula in a base of starim, that if it's munach and it's not dovuk, that it's a that it's not a chatzitza. So that's contact lenses, which are in the base of starim, it's okay. But on the outside of the body, it's not okay. Besides the fact that lice, I think, at least the nits do attach themselves. What? A woman, she wants to go down holding her nose, but she's supposed to hold her underarm slightly open. Get a different lady to hold her nose. So you have to do, if she wants to hold her nose, she first should go under without holding her nose, so it should be Mayim Kaidman. Then come up, hold her nose, and go down again. Make sense? I know. She should get her nose wet. What? They float on the water. That's the way they advertise. that they float on a thin layer of water in the eye. I once saw, I once broke my glasses during Hakafis here, and then broke my second pair of glasses. I have two pairs also, and I had to go to yeshiva and hide for Hakafis without glasses. I'm stuck. So I took a pair of my son's contact lenses and put them in my eyes. One gave me great vision from the right eye and terrible vision from the left eye. But that was the only time I ever wore contact lens. Yeah, my show is called Munach. It's called Munach. Now, about earplugs, we'll talk in a minute. I'll get to have ears here separately, so we'll get to it in a minute. Eyes. Now, here I wrote what says in Shulchan Aruch about mucus in the eyes. I should say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, mucus outside the eyeball is always a chatzitza. People are makbid. Mucus on the eyes, a chatzitza, only if it's dry and began to turn green. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch. In this case, one should clean the eye and immerse again. If one is unable to immerse again, you rely on the original, most rishayim rule leniently. I'm just a little uneasy about it. I think nowadays women are makbid on any mucus in the eye. It's hard to say different than what says Shulchan Aruch and all the Achrayim, but I think the women are very makbid. In B, eyelashes and eyebrows should be washed with warm water. False eyelashes, which cannot be removed, should not be used. I had a shayla about the eye, what I call under the eye, eyeliner. The eyeliner, permanent eyeliners that they put on. Permanent, you never heard of it. Anyway, they have permanent eyeliners which put in. It's a shayla of making a tattoo. They don't last forever. They last for a few years. As far as I was able to find out, they're not a chatzitza issue because they're under the skin. Whatever's put there is under the skin, and obviously she's not Macpedis anyway. She wants it there, so it seems not to be a chatzitza. What? I'm not familiar. I'm not up to date. I'm sorry. Now, the nose, we spoke about the shayla of how much of the nose is called a beis hastarim, and that you have to clean, and how far up is called the mokim balua. You should remember, part of the body that's never visible outside is a mokim balua. Chatzitza doesn't matter. When we say beis hastarim, we mean parts that are visible occasionally. You open your mouth, it's visible. The nose, Ricky Vager was brought that a person turns his head, and the part you could see is the part that has a chatzitz. It's interesting. I say mokim in an isha, it says a mokim she'ashamish dosh, where the aver goes in, that's also considered beis hastarim, not a mokim balua. Mokim balua is a part that's always balua in the guf. The baby inside the mother is balua. It's not a basis star. It's balua. I said Hainu Ravise. It's more than balua. It's balua. If somebody swallows a ring, somebody has a, that's the case in the halacha, someone accidentally swallows a ring, and it's tameh. She goes to the mikveh, and later the ring passes out of the body, so it's still tameh, because in a makam balua, it's tyre doesn't come and tumah doesn't come to makam balua. A baby is tar because it's Hainu Ravise, because that's the natural, the baby is Yataya, a baby in the mother's womb, that's the natural state of the, it's part of the mother. It's machlek in the Gemara, it's a Safak al Allah, we say Ubi Yerachimai, but even if you hold Ubin Lav Yerachimai, that is not autonomous from the mother, but nevertheless, it's Hainu Ravise, it's a normal way for it to be. Hair implants? It's implanted permanently? So that's in a makpedas. She wants it there. Okay. So really, makeup would also be good for that reason. That's the truth. Right? I mentioned to you that makeup is really not a chatzitza. Because a woman wants makeup. The only reason we consider it a chatzitza is because when it starts to fade or chip, then women don't want it. When they go to a wedding, they want to redo it. But hair implants are not redone. It's part of the They remove it and redo it.
They don't have anything. They wouldn't keep that over nothing.
They might, but that's not enough of a reason. If she's kneading dough, if she couldn't take the ring off, so she would do it with the ring on. But since her practice is to take the ring off, so therefore it's marked. Same thing here. Since the practice of women is to remove the makeup and redo it for a wedding, so even though if they had no choice, they wouldn't do it, but since the practice is that when they do have a choice, they do it. So that's
enough. Over here, by the makeup, it's not that they want it off. They just want something better. They can always want
right.
Better. They always say.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But they're ashamed to go to a wedding with chipped nail polish. Those who wear the nail polish. I don't know if it's different. All right. Ears. Now here I want to tell you there is a great amount of discussion regarding ears in medical situations where water is not allowed into the ear. And the question is what to do, how to plug the ear so that the woman could be tevelus. And the shaila goes back hundreds of years. What eitzah there is. So there are two eitzahs we find. The Taras Mayim some of tests, which I allude to in parentheses, suggest an alternative method. He has a chiddush, as I recall. There's a Mishnah that says that dover shekidulei b'mayim ain't a chaitzah b'mnei hamayim. What it says basically is that fish are not a chatzitza. If you're tovel and you found some fish on your skin, fish are not a chatzitza in mayim. It seems to be halacha meshem sinai. Because briyos on b'mayim, so they're like mayim, and it's not chaitzitz. A big chiddush. So he has a suggestion for these ladies who have problems, they can't let water into the ears, that they stuff their ears with some fish skin or something. Now, I never heard anybody doing this. It's an interesting innovation. Ramesh and his tshuva discusses, and this is a very hard thing to figure out in practical terms, his chiddush, that in a beis hastorim, a dover munach is mutter, and not a dover dovuk. So he says, if you put a plug deep enough into the ear, that's called beis hastorim. Exactly how far that is, I'm not sure. And if it's not dovik, it's munach. Well, it's also hard to figure out what's dovik or what's munach in the ear. He says that it is possible to do it. As a practical matter, it's very difficult. And it's hard to know. In many of the cases where women had these issues, I've called Mrs. Zakheim and tried to arrange that they're the first one to tevel. Many of them, it's not the water, it's the fear of infection. So if they change the water and somebody's the first one in, then the doctors let them be tevel. And I arranged that she should be the first one when they change the water, and the doctors were okay with it. I've never had a case where it was so ma'akiv that it was a problem, except the people who have... the ports. That's
when they're young, they put tubes, and sometimes they leave it until 20 years old. The tubes in the ears.
Okay, so you have to find out what they don't go swimming with the tubes.
They go swimming.
All right, so they go in the mikveh.
So the women have problems with the ears or something, and they have to wear.
This is the degree to which it's come my ways. Whenever I've had this type of shaila, the doctor said if it's clean water, it's fine. I tell people I'm a general practitioner. You know, I get some gittin shaila, some nida shaila, some ribbis I get a lot, and you know, I get a few of this, a few of that, you know, so you know, they're specialists that deal with it. And okay, getting to the mouth. This is also a common shaila, especially in the summer months. The shaila is asked. A woman has a mikveh night Friday night. So ideally, she goes to the mikveh and she comes home. You have Suda Shabbos. The shaila is often asked if you make an early Shabbos. You want to make an early Shabbos, have the Suda, put the kids to sleep, and then she'll go to the mikveh. Now, she has to go quick because the mikveh is not open late on Friday. But let's say a person could do it. You want to get the kids to sleep, you want to have an early. So you're making an early Shabbos. So the first point is the woman should not eat meat. We said, the minig not to eat meat doesn't apply on Shabbos. Yeah, it doesn't apply on Shabbos when Matzoi Shabbos is Yom Tif and she's not going to be able to clean, but it's, or even Matzoi Shabbos is Chayil. But there's a minig not to eat meat that day, so we let her eat meat, because she had a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos. But when the mikvah night is Friday night, she can eat meat on Shabbos after Tefillah. There's no reason that she should have meat. She could have chicken soup. She could be fleishig if she wants. But not more than that. Now, the minhag is that once you clean your teeth, you don't eat anything. So here, she'll have to clean her teeth again afterwards. Today, they have floss. They can floss their teeth. It's a big tumult by a lot of the ladies. There's some people who get flossed. She can floss her teeth on Shabbos unless it's psikresha, she'll bleed. If it's psikresha, she'll bleed, the dentist will tell you she should be flossing regularly, and then her gums will be stronger and she won't have a problem. But flossing is an excellent way of cleaning your teeth. There are some women who have teeth that are very tight in certain spots and find that pieces of floss get stuck between the teeth. So those women in those spots, taka shouldn't, because they can make it worse instead of making it better. But they shouldn't be going around telling everybody else not to, because it's not a... Most people find that it's not a... It's not a problem flossing. On the contrary, it's beneficial. I point out D by mouth braces. Braces are a hard shayla. By a shulchan is mekel on braces that are there for 30 days. I think most paiskim are machmir. Braces for medical need, they consider revise, like other medical things. But braces for cosmetic purposes, it's not such a pashut. Think I hear from the Nishmas Avraham, Mishem Rabbi Yashiv, that it's a problem. Ramesh also seems to feel that it's a problem. So, you know, Ramesh says if it's comfortable in your mouth, it's okay. Braces are not comfortable in a person's mouth, and therefore it's a hard thing. What? Yeah, they're very mappy. They're just stuck with it. All right. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm telling people they are shivas. I didn't write the psak. I told you to look there. It's I ain't big response here a day or whatever. And Michas Yitzchak, I think I took it. On the next page, again, most of what I wrote is the shaky tooth in G. F, dentures, loyaleinu, chaitzis, if they can easily remove, shaky teeth, not a chatzitza, fingernails. So we went through the complicated issue of fingernails. What? Excuse me? Implants, so that's on the previous page, I'm sorry. The implants, as long as they're comfortable in the mouth, are not a chatzitza, even a temporary filling. In C, permanent fillings, crowns, post, bridges, or false teeth are not a chatzitza. Temporary fillings, which are as comfortable as normal fillings, are not a chatzitza. Ramashel, temporary fillings which are not comfortable in the mouth are a chatzitza. It's also a subject of dispute. Actually, dispute is because the Dibur Chaim held if it's there for 30 days, it's good, even if it's not comfortable. Now Ramesh holds it depends if it's comfortable. If you have a temporary filling, if it's comfortable in the mouth, doesn't hurt you, it's fine. The Dibur Chaim, which the Chassidish place can follow, hold it depends on 30 days. If it's there, if you're leaving there for 30 days, not a chatzitza. Less than 30 days, it is a chatzitza. Ramesh disagrees with this. He says there's no makar kadmain for a zman. And therefore, he disagrees with it.
Comfortable within 30 days should be also okay.
Ramashal is comfortable within 30 days is okay. I don't know, the Chassidish of Paiskim, I think, I can't speak for them. I think they just go with the 30-day rule. Okay, most of the things here, again, ingrown toenail we didn't talk about. Ingrown toenail that's clean is also not a chatzitza. Which is the bottom of page 4. Dirt we discussed. Cutting nails we discussed at length. If you forgot to cut on Shabbos, a small crack. On page 5, nails we spent time on. Bath oil we didn't discuss. Bath oil number 11, mixed into bath water, should be washed off the body before tefillah. It's very confusing to me, this issue of bath oil. I don't know. It's a problem because there's nothing to do with makpedes. If it's on the whole guf, raiv haguf, or the whole guf, it's a chatzitza no matter what. Does bath oil have mamashis left on the body? Doesn't have mamashis? Very confusing. People ask me the shayla. I'm very confused by the metzias. Maybe I should just try it once and I'll get an idea. What? Peeling by a sunburn, you have to, whatever is peeling, you have to wash off. If you wash it as best you can a few times. See, there's peeling where it's partially off the skin. This peeling where it's turning white. So what you have to cut it off. Ink paints that dye on the skin should be removed. The stain which remains after washing is not a chatzitza because it lacks substance. It's a big chiddush of the Shach, Chachmas Adam, that stains which lack substance. Now, a scientist will tell you it always has substance, but it means it's not a. It just seems to be a discoloration of the skin. The same is true for stains caused by medicines such as iodine or food coloring such as red pistachio nuts. So today our youngsters don't know what iodine is and don't know what red pistachio nuts are. But jewelry which is loose. Where's that? Okay, we'll get to it one second. Page 6, let's get there. You're looking ahead. Blood is out of chitzitza, scabs, acne pimples. I just read you from Ramesha. We discussed stitches, casts, warts, and corns. Jewelry should be removed. It's not a chitzitza of one loosely. Right? We said even clothing that's loose is not a chitzitza. Jewelry which is tight on the skin is a chitzitza because women are sometimes makbid to remove it when working with dough, etc. A woman who is never makbid to remove it should nevertheless immerse again whenever possible. And the footnote, it says, chutz melonza and baila. That if she never removes it, the Yevon wants and Baila will make her earrings. The Bach considered earrings a chatzitza in all cases. Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So earrings also have to be removed. Again, a woman who never ever removes her earrings, so the Yevon wants and Baila, we would be make her. All right, page 7 is already a different topic. The topic of when preparations are done. So I bring a number in A, a machlekes rishonim, if it has to be done by day. If it's better to start by day or better at night. Mechor is better at night. It's closer to be less possible. Rashi says it should be done by day because if you do it by day, then you're not going to be in a rush. So we try to do both. We start by day. A woman is working. Today, sunset is about 4:40 or so. So a woman is working till 5. She can't exactly do her hachanas. What she should do is one hachana. Go in, just clip one nail, or even one toenail, to show that her das is on the preparations, and that she her mind is on it, and she won't rush at the last minute.
Maybe those days
there was
no light, because you
know. No, Machlokes Rashi has nothing to do with that. Now, Machlokes is if it's better to do it when you're not rushed earlier, or is it better to do it right before? It's like baking challahs. Some women want to bake the challah earlier, they shouldn't be rushed. Some women want to bake challah right before Shabbos, so they should get their husbands nervous. So, that's the...
What happens if you stop in the morning?
What?
Can't you stop in the morning?
Not only could she start in the morning, she could really do all the preparations in the morning. It happens especially on Erev Shabbos, where women ask a shayla, and they say, I have married kids coming for Shabbos, especially Yom Tov time. There's no way I can do the achadus in the afternoon. And at night, it's going to be Shabbos. What do I do? So they can do the preparations. Halacha, they can do it in the morning. There's no question. They have to be careful not to undo the preparations. They trim the nail. The fingernails are going to stay in good shape the whole time. But whatever else, the achadus could be done earlier. But... what? Could be
shouldn't make
challah. Can't make challah even if you do preparations at night. You can never do challah that day. But
isn't the tefillah kosher during the day?
What?
Isn't the tefillah itself kosher?
Now the shayla, we're going to deal with that. Mitzvah Hashem, the titling by day. There's a gzeira not to title by day on the seventh day, because of the fact that she's still osa till the night. The husband will think that she's mutter. So there is a tumble in the paiskim. If she goes to the mikvah by day but doesn't come home till the night, if that's okay. And rather famously, that was one of Ramosha's big coolest. He's taking on earlier paiskim in allowing tefillah the seventh day in a bungalow colony. The husband has to not be, and there she can't go. She has to come home by day because she's in a bungalow colony. The husband should be out of that bungalow, should go to shul early. And when she comes home, and he was Mekel. Srachbita is the eighth day. Even the eighth day, the meeting is not to travel by day. Mishum Srachbita. Her daughter will notice she's going to the mikveh, and will think it's the seventh day. Oh, you're allowed to go to the seventh day. So there's really a takana not to go to eighth day either. We're more Mekel. On the eighth day, she should come home later at night. Now, in two, tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should know. The tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's relatively easy. I think most of what it says here is known. The shaila is when Shabbos and Yom Tov, one follows the other. Even tefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. No, even tefillah on Matzah Shabbos. That's what I wanted to talk about. On the next page, tefillah on Matzah Shabbos. I want to tell you a secret. In the mikvahs, they have zmanim. They announce 72 minutes, 60 minutes, different zmanim when women are tevelis. It beats me, and why anybody would be machmir on Matzoi Shabbos to wait 72 minutes for tefillah, even 60 minutes for tefillah. It's hard for me to understand. Bishlam on Shabbos, Melacha Deraisa, so people wait 72 minutes or 60 minutes. You have to remember, here tefillah really is kashim by day. Really kashim is good by day. So it's hard to understand why in the mikvahs they wait such late zmanim. Now, in the Chassidish circles where they hold Rabbeinu Tam's Ikar HaDin, I understand. No, I'm talking generally. He's asking generally when they go. So I don't know. I tell the women who ask me that they could go in the earliest zman, especially if there's less lines, you're from the Mekilim. They don't have to feel that big Mekilim. What big Mekilim? It's no different than Davening Ma'ariv. It's a zman. And
now, even if they
put
my
early son
and
stuff in
anyway, so there's not a problem.
Right. So, 3, tefillah Matzai Shabbos. Here, there is a machlekes rishainin. When you tefillah Matzai Shabbos, whether the ikar zman for preparations are Friday, like Rashi Shita, that the ikar zman of preparations is before the night, or if the ikar zman for preparation is Matzai Shabbos, it's a machlekes rishainin. We do both. If a woman has to go to mikvah Matzai Shabbos, she does preparations Friday afternoon, and again on Matzai Shabbos. Obviously, cleaning her teeth on Friday afternoon is if she's going to eat on Shabbos, it doesn't do much. But everything else, a woman does hachadis twice. Now, here, reading from number 3, it is preferred all preparations be done on Friday. In this case, it's not necessary they be done late in the day. Doesn't make sense to be marked with Friday late in the day for a Matzah Shabbos tefillah. You could do it earlier. And then repeat it on Matzah Shabbos. One should bathe and check for chatzitas both times. Where the custom is to bathe for at least 30 minutes, this minimum time should be observed for one of the two preparations. For the remaining preparation, no minimum time is required. Today, you ask the Paiskim today, what's the main preparation? The Friday or Matzah Shabbos? You'll get different answers. Because Rashi said that preparation should be done earlier for fear it should like tehe mumalabesa, she shouldn't be rushed. And she can leave everything to Matzah Shabbos, she's going to be rushed. So therefore, the preparations. What's interesting is when tefillah falls on Matzai Tisha B'Av, it's the same halacha. That you prepare Friday, Erev Tisha B'Av, and Matzah Tisha B'Av. Now this means she goes and takes a bath, Erev Tisha B'Av, takes a hot bath, on Erev Tisha B'Av and comes to here. Now sometimes, when you have a house full of people, it's a little embarrassing to take Erev Tisha B'Av, a long bath. So what I wrote, that if it's a difficulty, you can do the bathing for Matzai Tisha B'Av. But the Etzem Chatzitzis are the same. All right, so this is a rundown of what we spent the last Sundays preparing. Next Sunday, Mr. Shavuos, Daf Kuf Pei Gimel.